Shores, El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
There are reports that Charlie Sheen could be leaving his hit show Two and a Half Men.
Any reasonable person looking critically at the evidence currently in the public domain.
These men are mimicking Jesus' walk to Calvary.
More than a million cases of chlamydia were reported in the U.S. during 2006.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go wherever we gotta go to entertain you and to illustrate, you know, through the looking glass, this entire thing called talk radio, opinion, news. I guarantee you there is no other talk show on the air like this one, and there isn't a talk show on the air such as this one that has more of a devoted following, and it includes some pretty heavy people like Glenn Beck and Howard Stern. Anyway, the number 877-876-PHIL. How do you celebrate Good Friday? In the Philippines, you nail yourself to a cross. That and more coming up. Plus, your pilot can now fly while on antidepressants. That's good news as far as I'm concerned. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight. Greensboro, Winston, North Carolina, WSJS 600 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas, KDXE at 1380. We are very, very grateful to have both these great stations on our network, and we are also planning on welcoming aboard the cities of Buffalo, New York, Reno, Nevada, and Grand Forks, North Dakota. Coming up next week here on The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, the story today, and I will tell you this, you know, it's a funny thing about health care and the Tea Party. All of these stories seem to, at times, like tributaries that will meet and join a river for a few miles and then sort of disperse again. That's kind of the way these news stories go. There's a very, very definite linkage between senior citizens, health care, obviously, and, you know, the Tea Party, things like that. We're going to talk here in a moment with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police about seniors and this burgeoning number of them. One in four of our elderly will need care decisions made for them. Made for them. I don't know why I'm saying our elderly. I guess I'm one of them, man. I'm 57. I guess by the time all this stuff really starts heating up, I'm going to be one of these guys that'll be sitting in a chair and somebody's got to decide whether they should flush it or not, you know? How do you like that, man? Anyway, a significant number of the elderly, more than one in four, will eventually need someone to make end-of-life decisions about their medical care, according to a new study. The result illustrates the value of people making their wishes known in a living will and designating someone to make treatment decisions for them, according to this research. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you have a database?
Oh, that's correct, Phil.
And is this database something that contains a lot of names, right, and a lot of people? I mean, I can't even imagine how you begin to amass the names of senior citizens who may need these kinds of end-of-life decisions made for them.
Well, Phil, first of all, thanks for having us back on your program tonight.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. This is a decision that sometimes these families are too distraught to make. Families may not be around at the time to make these decisions. Families may not be able to find, we may not be able to find the families. What we've done at the Citizens Auxiliary Police is we have taken it upon ourselves, part of our senior database, to collect as much information as we can, to go out and to interview some of our seniors and find out what kind of end-of-life decision should be made for them. This is a very easy process. The difficult part is, as you said, you know, keeping a database, but we are able to put it into computers on hard disk. We have now legal pads. And I'm a little bit nervous tonight, Phil, because I just got.
No, you're doing a good job. Just tell me about so what you're doing. If the elderly need these end of life decisions made, and what kind of end of life decisions are we talking about, Jay?
Right. What we're talking about. Is this person going to need assistance moving around? Are they going to be cognizant? Will this person, you know, God forbid, is this person going to need decisions made in terms of life and death? what kind of nursing home will this person need? Are they going to, what kind of medical insurance? What kind of you know, hospital equipment will they need in their own home if they're not in a hospital? And you do need power of attorney if the individual does not have the cognizance for these end-of-life decisions. So what we do is we go out into the malls at a lot of places here in the South Bay and Southern California, and a lot of the other ones, you know, citizens auxiliary groups like Gator Brigade, Beaver Battalion, New York Simulated Police, the West Texas Range Riders, and, these other groups that are, we're familiar with, we'll go out and take down the names and do an assessment right there.
Are you making appointments with senior citizens, or are you just knocking on doors?
In some instances, we'll just knock on doors. In other instances, we could be out in a public arena like a mall or a movie theater or in a supermarket or out in a department store, what have you, and we will assess the senior citizen, ask them their age up to a point, you know, if they're capable of answering a question. And then we will assess and make that decision at that time. Where will they be 5 years from now?
All right, so the senior citizens you're talking to are not yet at risk, right?
No, they're not yet ready. But what we're doing is getting them ready, because at that, at the time that they need to make this decision, they're not going to be, you know, capable of doing that.
So give me a typical assessment that you will do so that these seniors will have this decision made for them and that their later life obviously is a little bit more comfortable.
Well, for instance, last Monday, we had a very kind of a difficult time because this gentleman was very talkative, he was very cognizant, he was very bright, but he was in a wheelchair. He was in a mobile hospital transport that was more of a flex kind of wheelchair. So I looked at him and I realized that he was someone who obviously had mental capacity, but he did not have physical capacity. That probably means that he will have to be in some kind of a psychiatric ward because of the fact that he talks a lot, but he's in a wheelchair. And there'll be some suspicion. So we went ahead and marked down on a chart, you know, a mental facility or a psychiatric facility for him.
Well, wait, I don't understand that.
In what way?
What you're talking to an elderly man. Did you get his name?
Yes, we got his name. We got his basic statistics, his height, his weight, as far as he knew them.
And so you said because he was talkative, but he's in a wheelchair, that you think a psychiatric facility.
When he's older. We're not talking now, Phil. We're not talking now.
Yeah, but why when he's older?
Because of this very loquacious manner the man had. Very, very loquacious, very talkative, and yet he's in a he's incapacitated. He's almost tied in. The older you get, and the more you are communicative in this very loquacious, rapidly loquacious manner, and yet you have to be strapped into a chair. The idea around, people around you are probably going to think that you're, you know, I'm going to use a term, a cuckoo or, you know, kind of kooky. Not that you are, okay? Not that you are, but we have to consider that.
So you're going to take a man who is perfectly healthy, just understand, you know, Jay, a man who's talking, and put him in a psychiatric facility.
Just for the moment. That's one of the options. The other option is that he's fine and can be left alone. Although he needs to be checked on, obviously, because he doesn't have full locomotion. And that's where we have cameras set up at the doors. Because someone in a wheelchair, Phil, there's a 90% chance that an elderly person in a wheelchair is going to go down those steps. And that's, you know, show's over.
What do you mean show? You mean they're going to be, it could be fatal?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have to make that decision. There are a lot of these decisions. We talked to an elderly woman. Who was walking on a walker. She did not look well. We figure that she is most likely going to be a candidate for just determination if the doctor says you don't have any choice. You have to pull the plug. And so that's what we put on our chart.
But you don't know these people, and you don't really know if there's not going to be family around.
No, we don't, Phil.
So how are you going to make these decisions?
Well, we ask for the power of attorney only in end-of-life decisions. Got nothing to do with
power of attorney they're giving you.
Only an end-of-life decision. It's got nothing to do with their money. It has nothing to do with property. It only has to do with the disposition of the elderly person himself and whether that person can live on their own. Obviously, the older someone gets, the more they have to be in an assisted facility. whether putting them in an assisted facility is worth it, or should they go directly into a mental institution or a psychiatric institution, or just be put, I don't want to use the word they use, put down or...
Well, that's the term they use for dogs.
Yeah,
Terminating the, you know, if they're so sick, someone has to make the decision to pull the plug.
That's correct, yes, sir. Now, we've used the term as shorthand, they're put down or they're put to sleep, but...
Well, that's a term that's used for the...
veterinarian.
Exactly, yeah. All right, Jay Santos with us here on the Phil Henry Show. These end-of-life decisions that the senior citizens are not capable of making, you guys at the Citizens Auxiliary Police are making them for these people. But they're total strangers.
Well, you say they're total strangers. Not after we're done talking to them, especially what if there is no family around? What if there is no person can make a decision like this? I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you this much, Phil. Look at all the money we've wasted on doctors trying to keep people from becoming more sick. We do have a database. We have computers. We've got a lot of computers, and that's where you keep records now. If you're familiar, records are kept on computers, and we do have computers.
Yeah, that's. I understand that.
All right, and the other thing is that there's going to be a lot of senior citizens who are not going to be capable of making these end-of-life decisions still that they need to make. We have accepted this challenge at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's not something we want to do, but we will take it upon ourselves to record what those end-of-life decisions should be and make sure they get to the right people.
Well, now, when you say get to the right people, before we take a break, what do you mean by that?
Well, if the person goes into the hospital, we can go to the doctor and say, this is what the assessment is. This person should have, you know, unfortunately, have the plug, you know, take the plug out of the wall or not, or put into some other facility that may be a hold facility or something with extra protection or security, double locked doors, that kind of thing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our senior citizens who cannot make these decisions for themselves, end-of-life decisions, where are they going to be in the hospital? Who will pull the plug if you need to pull the plug? What kind of wheelchair are they going to have? And if there's no family around, who will make the decision? Mr. Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, one of many groups, I guess, volunteering to do this. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Jay Santos and talk more about this in a moment.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And this is a rather involved conversation we're having here tonight with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, you guys are, so people know, you're not an official police force.
Yeah, Phil, you and I have had this conversation.
Now, I know we've had the conversation, but I feel that I need to have to get this out there.
This has got nothing to do with law enforcement. This is a public service that we are providing. We're doing this at our own cost, at our own expense. We're going to senior citizens, and we're finding out, assessing where they are going to eventually wind up.
Well, you're assessing senior citizens, and you're saying, well, this one here is going to have to be in assisted living. This one here is going to need a wheelchair. This one here will probably need the plug pulled, and I don't know how you do that, you know.
Well, Phil, I'm not saying this one's going to need the plug pulled. We were following an elderly woman who was in a grocery store down here in Torrance last weekend.
When you say you're following an elderly woman, what are you doing?
We are tracking her. We are watching her. Why the question?
Well, if I were her, I would feel a little intimidated.
This woman, I can assure you, I don't think she knew that. I don't know if she knew that there was anybody around her. And that's why we went ahead and gave her a red check. And said, I gave her a tip of the pistol and it was on my way.
Well, what does that mean? The red check is the plug gets pulled?
That was our assessment, yes, sir. That was our assessment.
Did you talk to her?
We got her name. And
she gave you her name?
Well, in that case, a lot of these people will say hi and they give you Helen. And they don't give you a last name. But we can figure where she lives what her last name is. You feel that this is intrusive.
I think that it's a little intrusive if you're following an elderly woman. Then you put a red check next to her and you say, you are going to make that decision.
I'm going to take this information to the hospital where she eventually is going to wind up. Because this is the tragedy of old age, Phil. I didn't make this world. That woman is bound to fall downstairs. She's bound to fall down a flight of stairs. I don't know what. And then there's going to be a hospital visit, and they're going to need someone there to say, here's the information on her. And as far as we were able to determine, she is probably at some point going to need to have those life-supporting services suspended.
As far as you were concerned?
That is correct, yeah.
All right.
Because, again, there's only one out of four elderly going to need these care decisions. What are we going to do? There's no family around there.
Well, when you say that you're looking at this old lady and you have decided that you got to pull the plug on her, and that's not for a while, it all seems, very mechanical, you know?
Well, I know, Phil, but we have to be efficient, and I didn't make this world, and I'm not the one that left that poor woman to wander a supermarket by herself, holding a box of dried noodles, and that was it. She was there for an hour.
877-877 need care decisions made for them. Here is Sharon. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yes. Hi. Phil?
Hi.
I cannot believe the trash coming from this guy's mouth. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you from Rhode Island, and I've listened to you many times and enjoy your show. And
thank you.
Basically, if he was to track me over the last 5 years, he would put me down. Friends and family.
You're not elderly. You don't sound elderly to me. Let's talk about senior citizen.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, if he's tracking the elderly for this, I mean, what to say his group isn't going to say, okay, with this new medical plan and we need to save money where we can, we'll just stop treating and make plans for people as they get younger. In my case, I'm in my 40s. I'm still working. I work a full-time job. But there are
what about that, Jake?
Well,
we're not doing well.
I don't know. Exactly. I'm going to look at you. And if you fall down and you break your leg, or I know you're a young woman, but at what point do you decide that you're really not any good for anything? I'm not going to say any good for anything, but at what point do you decide you're not really any good to anybody? You know, do you want to make that decision? Do I make that? How do you do that?
Well, she makes the decision. She's a young woman, all right?
She's a young woman now, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, ma'am. I interrupted.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I'm, you're saying, you don't know if these people have family members. Well,
exactly.
Why wouldn't it be their family who takes care of them? Their family who has to make the decision.
That's a very good point. But what if the family's not there? What if I happen to be at the hospital and the family's 200 miles away? I don't know where they are. If you, even a young woman like you, were to fall down and you're already, I think you mentioned you're already handicapped, do I say, well, I'm the only one here. I'm Jay Sanis. I took down Sharon's information. As far as I can tell, you have to suspend life support. And,
well, wait. You're talking about a young woman here.
But she made the point that she's not doing too good. Or do you feel that you're like what we call pre-senior? Sharon?
Yeah, I have things set up myself because, you know what? My mother is also handicapped, and she has the beginning of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And seeing as how there's Alzheimer's on both sides of the family, I have to take her medical care in my hands, and at some point, someone will have to do it for me. I know this because I've taken the test and I'm carrying the gene.
Do you feel tapped out right now, though?
What do you mean, tapped out?
Do you feel as if she's ready? Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, actually,
she's
dead.
Are you saying that she's ready to die?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. Is she ready? Are you ready to die? No.
Oh, no, I'm nowhere near ready to die. In fact, I get up every morning, and I work at one of the biggest and largest banks in the country and provide financial information to people.
That's very good.
And then one of the top producers.
Right.
So
but
I have
you get
a brain.
Tapped out.
amount.
Let's not use. This is a woman in her 40s, so she's not tapped out, as you put it.
That's a medical term. I didn't mean to say. But Sharon's going to need to make a decision sooner or later for the mother who's got Alzheimer's. And I'll tell you a story, Sharon, and this is very sad. I walked into a home where an old lady was boiling her own underwear, if you can believe that. And when I asked her, what are you doing, she said, I'm making soup. And what do you say then? You say, you know, she's tapped out.
All right, hold on. Sharon, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL, boiling her own underwear. We'll be back. Jay Santos, 1 in 4 elderly need care decisions made for them. Jay Santos of the Citizens of Philly Police and Phil Hendry Show.
Woo! Phil Hendry.
He's tapped out.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about as we speak tonight to Jay Santos. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is a, you don't like me calling it a volunteer police agency.
We've always said, Phil, that we are an auxiliary, and that's all that really needs to be said. We're an auxiliary police agency.
And you are amassing information from senior citizens as to their physical condition, their health, their state of mind, so that you can know what to do with them when those end-of-life decisions come.
Well, look, if I could interrupt you for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Everybody knows it. And it doesn't really look like, I don't know, but to me and a lot of people who observe the news, it doesn't look like Obama's going to make this healthcare plan stick. I don't know. They're looking to repeal it. So we're going to have to do our part. And we're going to have to encourage a lot of these doctors, and I have interviewed a lot of these senior citizens, encourage these doctors to try to, if we can, keep the cost low. I'm not saying that we want our senior citizens to be uncomfortable, but we do have to make these very quick diagnoses. I'm talking to someone, as I did, I talked to a lady yesterday. She was very irritable. She didn't want to talk to me. She was very rude. We'll put down, which I think is, I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down that that's a woman who's probably going to need restraints when she is in a facility. Some old man who's very talkative, is it that much of a step to say that probably he's going to need some sort of psychiatric care? And on it goes. You know, we have these old gentlemen who we call the tiny steppers. These are the guys that have no real flexibility in their legs. These guys are going to be tapped out. You talk about tap out.
When you say tapped out, are you saying these are people that are going to have to be have the plug pulled?
That's my anticipation, right. But again, healthcare costs are going to go through the roof, and we've got to do something to keep it down.
877-876-PHIL with Jay Santos here. Let's go to another phone call tonight. We have Rita in Lewisburg, Tennessee. Rita, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, Phil. How are you tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm good. Thank you.
This guy is barbaric. If anybody needs to be put in a mental institution, he does. He sounds
I'd love
like...
for you to tell me why, ma'am. I'd love for you to tell me why. I'm trying to keep down the cost.
How old are you?
I'm 37 years old, ma'am.
Well, you wait till you get to be 70 or 80 and somebody is making the decision whether you're going to live or whether you're not going to live. And you are talking like a Hitler. And you said...
That's ridiculous.
Can I talk, Phil?
Yes, let the lady talk.
I'm not going to let her call me Adolf Hitler. Everyone knows what he did.
All right, I understand, but let the lady make her point.
You're trying to make a perfect society, and I mean, you know, just because somebody's old does not mean they do not have plenty to offer in this world. And the elderly can teach the young people what they know. They have much to offer, even if they're sitting in a wheelchair. And as far as
if the person's tapped, if he's tapped out, there's no way. If the man's tapped out,
this man is crazy.
Well, what do you do with an elderly person who says don't teach me?
No wonder the woman got irritable with him. He needs to be, somebody needs to come and lock him up. What
ma'am,
kind of auxiliary is this?
I will tell you, ma'am, if a man is tapped out, what are you going to learn from him?
Well, when you say tapped out, are you saying he can't speak?
Well, if a guy tapped out, what are you going to learn from a guy that's tapped out? That's my question, Mr. Henry.
What is tapped out?
Tapped to the guy is ready to shuffle off. I don't want to. You want me to use the word?
You are insane.
Do you want me to use the word?
Somebody needs to shuffle.
Are you talking about if the man is dead? Is that what you're saying?
If he's ready to die, if he's ready to shuffle, yes. What are you going to learn from a man who is in a sealed container? A man who's being fed.
If he's in a coma, but he
exactly.
said this man sitting in the wheelchair, you were going to send him to a mental hospital. I mean, just
exactly.
because he talked and had conversation. That's the
exactly.
most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Let me ask a question here, if I could.
People in wheelchairs have very much love to give people, no matter how aged they are. A lot of them in wheelchairs are the ones that fought for our country so that we can have freedom, so you can sit there and act like some kind of nut.
Well, ma'am, most of our veterans are treated very well medically, so we don't see a lot of veterans in wheelchairs. The guys that are in wheelchairs from World War One or from Spanish America.
Hold on for a minute. I want to ask a question here, Jay. I want to ask you this question. If a man is talkative and he's a chatty older gentleman, why do you mark him down for eventual commitment to a psychiatric facility?
Well, it's not because he's talkative. It's because he's talkative and he's in a wheelchair. Now, I don't know if this lady or you have ever been in a bar where there's a guy in a wheelchair. That's the guy that starts the fight. Guy in a wheelchair.
My mother was in a wheelchair, and she had plenty to offer.
Did she hang out in bars?
She was a kind, sweet woman. No, she didn't hang out in bars, but you're just going
well,
out and just talking to people. No wonder the woman was annoyed with you yesterday. You are a nut.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying, Phil, if you go into a bar, the guy in the wheelchair is the guy that's going to start the fight. And now when you got a guy that's talking to
you. How do you know that, man?
Get out of here. I've been in enough bar rooms to do that, Phil. A guy in a wheelchair, he's the one that's got the gun.
Wait a minute, man. We're not even talking about a guy in a bar. We're talking about an older gentleman who was very affable. He was talking to you. He was friendly.
Exactly.
This man is the one that needs to be put in a mental institution.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to do something that nobody else is doing. I'm trying to see what we can do for ourselves.
You know, you are
the Obama thing. Obamacare is going to get repealed.
I've never called into one, and I was sitting here listening to this. I didn't know where it was coming from, and I thought,
you know exactly what I talk about. And the man said to me, oh, yeah, I was in the Spanish-American War, and that's when I knew this guy eventually is going to have to be locked up.
Why do you got to lock him up for that?
He's babbling.
First of all, the Spanish-American War, the guy must be...
I can tell you, I'm talking to him about, you know, what hospital do you want to stay in, and he starts blathering on about Cuba, and that's got nothing to do with anything, see? He starts talking to me about the Spanish-American War and blowing up the Maine.
Maybe he's better to talk about that than off the point.
Jay, first of all, and I want to thank you very much, Rita, for your phone call, 877-876-PHIL. First of all, I doubt very much if you were talking to a veteran of the Spanish-American War. Secondly...
Right there, the guy's, I don't want to say cuckoo or however you want to put it.
But the point here is that this guy is just, you were asking about his age, right?
I was asking about his age. I didn't want him to get into his military record from, this guy started talking about going up a rough ride. Or you're saying he took a rough ride. And I didn't know whether we had one of these don't ask, don't tell. Or
the rough riders? You mean the Teddy Roosevelt rough riders?
I was not familiar with it. All I know is he said, yeah, I'm rough riding. And I thought, I'm not going to say he belongs in a mental institution on account of that. And
he's talking of the Spanish-American War probably was Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. What'd you think it meant? That he was gay?
Mr. Henry,
That's what you thought, huh?
We are trying to help this country save money. Obamacare is going to get rolled back. You know it, I know it. She knows it, he knows it. My wife knows it, my kids know it. Guy across the street knows it.
All right, I get the idea. It's going to get rolled back.
All right, and we are going to have to find a way to cut these costs.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. I have Lee on the line. Lee, you're on with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Jay. Could you please tell me what credentials you have to make these decisions?
I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm a brigadier of Admiral organization.
No, what credentials do you have to make these medical and mental decisions?
I like to think that I'm a citizen physician. we have in this country right now a medical establishment that has stolen billions and billions of dollars. And what's going on? I'll tell you what. People are dying.
So you have a degree then?
I have a degree in... Let me tell you the degree I've got in. It's called life. I got a degree in life.
Well, I think the gentleman's at... Do you have any degree, Jay, in anything?
I got a degree in life, Mr. Henry. And,
I don't want a barber working on my car if he's not a mechanic.
Well, the medical establishment is... Do you deny the medical establishment has stolen billions and billions of dollars from American people? Of course you don't deny that. You know that. So we need citizen physicians.
And we don't need a citizen physician doing brain surgery, do we?
I'm not talking about that, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about what do we do with an elderly man who's talking to himself in a wheelchair? Where did you come from? What do we do with an old lady who's walking around a supermarket for an hour with a box of noodles and she forgot why she went in there? What do we do that? Who's going to do that? Me? You? Me.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Jay. Do you ever forget something early in the morning?
Sir, it's one thing to forget something. It's another thing to boil your own underwear because you're going to make soup. And that's exactly what we saw when we walked into that woman's home 2 weeks ago over here in La Cañada. She's boiling her own underwear.
And well, I said, what if you forget your keys to your car to go to work?
You know, that's not the same thing at all. You can forget your keys to your car. Oh, wow, I forgot my keys to my car. I'll go back in and get them. But boiling my own underwear, figuring I'm going to sit down and have that for dinner?
Well, maybe she's trying to clean it.
She thought it was, you know.
Well, that is a good point.
She was going to, it was soup. Soup.
It was soup? Well, maybe she likes
soup.
Kind of soup.
All right. I can tell you're not serious. You know what, sir? I'm doing something. You're sitting on your ass.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more from Jay Santos.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, and welcome back. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, this idea of going around and interviewing elderly people and finding out how they are best going to be served when end-of-life decisions come about, do you ever try to contact members of their family?
Do I ever try to do what?
Do you ever try to contact members of their family so that you don't find yourself making these decisions?
It's really, I find it very interesting. We've got people who are saying they don't want Obamacare, which I don't blame them. I think Obamacare is very socialism, and I'm not in favor of that at all. But we got to do something because Obamacare, which I hope they repeal it. I hope they repeal it. But you know how much these people are going to cost us.
No, my question isn't about Obamacare. It's about do you contact the families of these people?
I find that it is far more easier to simply do a quick assessment, file a paperwork, tip it a pip helmet, I'm on my way. I mean,
what do you call a quick assessment? Why not try to contact the family?
If I see a man, I told you that guy was jabbering on about the Spanish-American War, you're trying to tell me that he belongs. So what would you say? Pull the plug?
No, I'm not saying pull the plug. Why does a man belong in a psychiatric hospital?
Spanish-American War? Come on!
Well, that's what I was saying to you.
I know.
I mean, I was telling you that I didn't think he could be a spend. This doesn't necessarily mean that he's crazy. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jack. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay. I want to address that idiot you got on the line there. Talk about Mr. Henry?
No, he's talking about you.
No, he's talking about you.
He's talking about you, Mr. Santos.
I know about you, Mr. J. Santos. You are right.
I thought you said the idiot. And I assumed you meant Mr. Henry.
That's exactly
what
I mean.
It makes
shut
sense.
Shut your mouth and listen.
For health care in America.
Will you let's listen to the guy?
Shut your mouth and listen, man.
Health care in America. I don't let people tell me to shut my mouth ordinarily.
Well, I've sat here to listen to you rattle like garbage. Let me tell you something. I'm in a wheelchair. I had a stroke 7 years ago. I live by myself.
You tapped out?
I cook for myself. I wash my own clothes.
I go wherever, Jack.
I want to go. And
there you go.
I go all over Nashville. Anywhere in Nashville, I go to, I'm a season ticket to a hockey team.
There you go.
I've got an IQ of 130. Give 36 years of my life.
How can you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan?
Okay, Jay.
No, I'm being very serious now.
What did he say?
I said, how can you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan? And by the way,
you ain't nothing but an idiot. You're nothing but an idiot. I spent 36 years of my life in law enforcement. I've got degrees in it. I've got plaques and accommodations from every federal unit in the United
States. There you go.
I'm not saying you haven't had a good life, sir, but I am saying it's possible you're tapped out.
I tell you what you do. You come to Nashville, Tennessee, and follow me around. I mean, you won't follow me over five steps. Bring your little pad and start following me around, and you'll get your interview. Can an idiot understand that?
Mr. Henry,
do you understand, Jake?
Yes, I do, and I'd like to make an assessment right now, this gentleman, because I've been assessing him while he's been talking to me. He says he goes to hockey. I think he's imagining things because everybody knows what hockey in Nashville is. That
they've had a hockey team in Nashville for a number of years.
Well, I was not familiar with that, so okay.
Since 1998.
Nashville, the Predators.
That's exactly correct.
That sounds exactly correct. Right, well, I'll go ahead and do it. All right, Nate says that he has an IQ of 139. Well, that's suspect, too. So if this man's delusional...
Why do you think he's delusional? Because he goes to hockey and has an IQ of 139? Why is that delusional?
Because, Mr. Henry, he's the kind of guy that starts the fight in the bar. He's the guy that starts the fight in the bar.
I don't go to bars. I don't even drink. I don't drink. Haven't smoked a cigarette in 12 years. I haven't drank a liquor in 12 years.
You're the guy in a wheelchair who insists on using the pool table.
Well, listen, you sound all right to me.
I don't know where he's qualified to talk.
All right, look, I got to take a break. I think you're very, very healthy, and you sound like a good man there, Jack. I think that you going to hockey games sounds very, very healthy. And
are you qualified, Mr. Oh, here he is. I'm looking at the TV right now. This Erica Badu. Well, she's got a big butt on her, don't she?
All right, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm sorry, but it was part of the. We were looking at this today, Phil.
I'm not talking about that, am I?
No, sir, you're not.
We were talking about this gentleman, and you. Okay, so what's your assessment of Jack? He's in a wheelchair. He goes to hockey games. He is a high IQ. He's got a degree.
That's when he wasn't in a wheelchair. All right. Now that he is in a wheelchair, I would, unfortunately, have to recommend him for restraint. Yes, because I can see that by the time he gets to be much older, and by the time he has to go, when he is eventually tapped out and he's all in, they'll have to probably tie him down. Now, that's my only concern. And people say, what right do you have? Well, where is his family that's going to make a call like that?
Well, maybe they're around. And I can only hope and pray that they're around so that you're not around to have the guy put in restraints because he happens to like hockey. Martel, you're on the Phil Henry Show, listening to us on K-Talk in Los Angeles tonight. Martel, go ahead.
Hello. I just got to ask one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Jay,
you there?
How many people have you disconnected, with your job and all?
You mean hung up on?
Yeah.
Oh, I hung up on a lot of people.
Do you feel good about it?
Hanging up on people? Yeah, if I have to hang up on them.
I don't think, I think you're talking about something else.
Disconnect them.
Disconnect them from what? Reality?
From the wall, man.
Totally people.
Pull the plug.
Right.
Oh. No, I don't do that. My recommendation would be if the guy's tapped out.
Can we not use that term?
The technical term is...
I don't care. I don't want to use that term.
Well, my recommendation would be that I would recommend that, sir. I've never physically done that myself. Although I have unplugged vacuum cleaners things. I don't know if that's the same thing.
No, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Do these people that don't get unplugged, do they ever have, like, a proper funeral? You know what I mean? Like,
I hope so.
Or it's like, you know, guys bury a hole in the ground, like, you know, back in World War II, a ditch, just throw the bodies in there and forget about it.
I don't know. With the cost of health care and the expense that goes into, well, I guess it doesn't cost that much to dig a hole.
No, it doesn't cost that much to dig. Thank you very much, Martel. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Jay Santos, and he's making sure nobody's tapped out. We'll be back coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Art Griego.
Phil Hendry.